This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Kanesh.
New Jersey's powerful grassroots People's Organization for Progress decides that it's time to take Bernie Sanders' candidacy for president to heart. The People's Organization for Progress has rarely departed from a long-standing policy of not supporting candidates for office and engaged in a rigorous debate and careful consideration about reaching its position on how to relate to the 2016 presidential election.
POP's chairman Larry Hamm acknowledged the struggle of Bernie Sanders to date to build support in urban communities, specifically with Black and Latino voters. It did come up and it will continue to come up, but the fact remains that many of his basic positions will benefit Black people, said the activist. Single-payer health care, raising the minimum wage, affordable college, rebuilding crumbling infrastructure. Although those specific platform planks may not be addressed specifically to African Americans, Black people know they will benefit from those things.
POP's chairman, Larry Hamm, said, "While we should be deeply concerned by how Republican candidates like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have taken the Republican Party so far to the right, we on the left should be just as active as they are and should give serious consideration to how the Sanders campaign could possibly take the Democratic Party from the center-right to the left." Larry Hamm, chairperson of one of the country's most important grassroots organizations, thanks for taking the time to join our WBAI listeners.
It's good to be here with you.
Larry, take us through the discussion, because certainly there are comrades are free to disagree, but there are a number of groups that are immersed in Black Lives Matters-oriented issues fundamentally, who have decided to stay away from a specific endorsement, and those who have still been enormously reticent about Bernie Sanders. What was the nature of the discussion, and why did POP come to a different conclusion?
Okay, I will take you through that discussion, but could I give a shout out real quick?
Oh, of course.
Since this is the Community and Labor Report, I want to give a shout out to the AFT of New Jersey and thank them for giving the People's Organization for Progress their Friend of Labor Award at their state conference.
Wow.
This Saturday, as a matter of fact, this just, and I forgot to mention this to you, man, so much is going on, but this happened Saturday. They had their state conference down in Atlantic City, and they asked me to come down and receive this award. This award was not to me. It was to the People's Organization for Progress, particularly because of the role that we played in the struggle at Kane University. There was a struggle at Kane University around the general question of various manifestations of institutional racism and also anti-labor policies, but specifically around getting the president of the college, Farahi, to resign. And we were active in that struggle and supported the various demonstrations that the folks there were organizing, including the local AFT, on the AFT local on the campus. And also they recognized POP for our participation in the struggle to return local control to the school district in Newark, which has been now under state control for almost 20 years. And as you can see from reading the headlines in the newspapers, things have not been any better under state control. So I just want to thank the AFT for that consideration they gave us this weekend.
Oh, I think we should thank POP, because POP is one of the groups that really has melded the issues of class, issues of the working class, with the issues of, in fact, Black Lives Matter. And you do it superbly. And that's why we think it's so important, the decision that your organization has made in this context and what the pending kind of historic poll possibilities are for POP.
Yes.
In its decision to endorse Bernie Sanders.
Yes,
Democratic Party candidate. Our
discussion of the Sanders campaign actually started last summer. In fact, you all were familiar with the Million People's March that we had against police brutality in Newark, New Jersey, a very successful mobilization, probably the largest anti-police brutality rally in the history of the city of Newark. And I want to thank you for the support you gave us on your show. That helped to bring people out. Discussion around the Sanders campaign actually started around late June. We had heard that Sanders might be running for president, but it really didn't become clear to us till that summer. And the discussion started immediately about the Sanders campaign. I mean, there were some people who were for it. There were some people who felt we shouldn't get involved because many of us, including myself, we understand that there's a establishment bias within the Democratic Party. It's clear that they want Hillary Clinton. And, you know, POP has its origins in the Jackson campaign of not its origins. We were actually formed in 1983, but we began to grow as an organization as a result of our participation in the Jesse Jackson campaigns for president in 1984 and 1988. So we had kind of been down the electoral road. And, you know, we know how not only the economy is rigged, but the political system is rigged against candidates who even put forward what some might consider mild reform. And people felt that they would end up ambushing Sanders at the convention, which will be this summer in Philadelphia, just like they ambushed Jesse Jackson in the convention in Atlanta in 1988. In 84, he had accrued some delegates, but not enough to really pose a serious threat to the establishment candidates at that time. But in 88, the Jackson campaign did pose a serious threat to the Democratic Party. As a matter of fact, I think they actually began organizing that Democratic Leadership Council after the Jackson campaign, 1988, because they felt the Democratic Party had a leftward drift in it, and they wanted to stop that from happening. And that's when they put that Democratic Leadership Council, of which Bill Clinton was a leader, a founding member, to keep the party from moving to the left, and in fact, even move it to the right in order to appeal to the so-called Reagan Democrats. They felt they would lose, the Democratic Party was losing some of its base to the Republican Party. But so we began to have this discussion, and as a matter of fact, we had made a decision sometime in the late summer to have some discussion about the presidential campaign or on our agenda at every meeting, and POP meets every Thursday at the Abyssinian Baptist Church. Now, in the 33-year history of the People's Organization for Progress, we've only endorsed to date, if we include Senator Sanders, three candidates. And one was Barack Obama when he ran in 2004. The second one was Ross Baraka when he ran for mayor in Newark in 2014. So up until the Sanders campaign, we had only endorsed two candidates, and people come to us for endorsements all the time. But our experience with electoral politics has kind of made us, we invite candidates to come speak to us. We even have candidate forums. You know, we want people to know who's running for office and what their platforms are. But generally our attitude has been let people make up their minds for themselves, because we found from earlier years of experience with POP that electoral politics, you know, it's like fire. You got to know how to handle it, because it can cause splits and divisions in your own ranks. I mean, for many offices, you know, you have people from the same communities, from the same class, you know, from the same race and class background, who should all be struggling against a common foe. They end up struggling against each other. And sometimes these things, I've actually seen struggles break out in churches, because people, same people belong, same church, they end up running against each other in an election, and it could get very contentious. But we began to listen to Bernie Sanders and what he was saying. And some of the issues that he was raising, you know, were the same issues we, in fact, have in the core demand of the People's Organization for Progress. Since the founding of our organization in 1983, one of our core demands has been for universal health care. One of our core demands was for free college education. One of our core demands was increasing the minimum wage. At that time, 1983, we just said increase minimum wage, and today we support the $15 minimum wage. And also Sanders' anti-corporate, anti-capitalist stance. You know, the Dr. Martin Luther King said we need a radical redistribution of wealth and power in the United States. We need a radical restructuring of our socioeconomic system. And Bernie Sanders is out talking about the growing inequality, how none of the wealth has trickled down and all the wealth has trickled up. The rich are getting richer and the masses of people are being pushed down into poverty. So these were things that attracted us to the Sanders campaigns. Now, were there some problems? Yes. I mean, especially initially around the issue of reparation, you know, because the People's Organization for Progress, that's one of our, that, in fact, that's our number one core demand from our founding was for reparations for the descendants of those who were enslaved in this country. And initially Sanders said that he was not in support of reparations, but my understanding is that he's moved back from that position. But nonetheless, you know, it was problematic for us, you know, and so on and so forth. But when we looked at the overall picture, we said, look, there's going to be a primary election. There are only going to be two candidates on the ballot. The primary in New Jersey, now, for folks in New York, your primary, I believe, is April 19th. For us, our primary is June the 7th. And there are going to be two choices. Now, we can either stand on the sideline and not participate and let the masses of our people, because in the black community, the overwhelming majority of voters who do come out and participate, you know, they're black and they're members of the Democratic Party. So we could either let them be herded by the toward the establishment candidate, or we could, you know, try to push them, you know, in a more progressive direction toward a candidate whose platform was more like our own and more in the interest of working and poor people in this country. And that's basically why we decided, you know, after much struggle, I mean, I'm giving you like the collapsed, you know, in time collapsed version of what happened. This is a struggle that went on for 6 months because we did not officially endorse Bernie Sanders until mid-January of this year, January of 2016, because we couldn't do it and we didn't want to do it unless the overwhelming majority of our members were united behind it. We weren't going to endorse Sanders with no 51-49 split in the organization. That's a formula for disaster. We had to take our time, struggle with people, try to convince them of the need to do this. And when we had what some people might consider a supermajority, a three-fourths majority, that's when we decided we were ready.
But,
to make that
Larry, let me ask you this. I remember, and I believe it was Minister Farrakhan who once said that, frankly, they select and we're then told to elect, that there really is a complete disenfranchisement and lack of democracy in the electoral process, particularly on the presidential level, so that there are those who have taken that to heart and said, well, what we're advocating is that people write in a pro-reparation stance in general and just use their ballot that way. Why participate, and what do we do, or what does a group like POP do with the reality that there's been a historic betrayal of the African-American community subsequent to vying for its vote?
Right. First of all, let me say I very much respect the position of that other organizations have on this. Some of them range from non-participation to I recently heard that one of the organizations that we have very close ties with said, well, write your own name in or write in on the ballot, vote for reparations. we generally respect that. I mean, I as much as anyone else, understand why people would be alienated from this corrupt political system, from this political system that clearly is under oligarchic control, under the control of the ruling class in this country. But at the same time, we don't see this referendum, as this election, as simply a contest between two individuals. It's also a referendum on what we stand for. And it gives us the opportunity to make manifest, to make clear to the rest of the society what people really want. I mean, even if Sanders doesn't get elected, the fact that he could get close to 50, because I believe by the time he gets to the convention, even if he doesn't get the nomination, which he probably won't, even if he ends up, let's just say he ends up with a few more delegates, than a few more of the elected delegates than Hillary Clinton, they're going to use the superdelegates to thwart any attempt to get the nomination. They're going to throw as many of the superdelegates as they can get, because now some of the superdelegates are in a bind. They committed to Hillary Clinton early on, and since that time, many of their states have in fact gone for Sanders. So I think what we're going to see, you may see some of these superdelegates are going to have to bend to the pressure of their own constituencies. How can you vote for the candidate that the majority of Democrats in your state did not support? But nonetheless, they're going to try to use this trapdoor of the superdelegates. I mean, consider this. There are over 600 superdelegates. You only need 2,300 and some odd delegates to get the nomination. So they're going to try to use that in Hillary Clinton's favor. But nonetheless, it will be clear. What do the American people want? They don't want any more income inequality. They want the rich to be taxed at their fair share, at a much higher rate than they're being taxed now. They want public colleges to be free. They want the $15 minimum wage. They want universal health care. See, this is not just a contest between two individuals. This is also a referendum on which direction the country should go in. Should it go in the direction of proto-fascism, authoritarianism, and what could only be considered as feudal inequality, the way the society is skewed in America today, our class structure almost looks like that of medieval Europe, with a handful of very rich people at the top of the pyramid and almost everybody else at the bottom now. I mean, many of us who thought of ourselves as being middle class, including myself, we lost our home in the last economic crisis. The greatest loss of black wealth since emancipation took place in this last economic crisis, because majority of black folks' wealth was tied up in their homes, and hundreds of thousands of black people lost their homes. Right now in the county that I live in, Essex County, Newark is located in Essex County. Essex County has the highest rate of foreclosure in the state. In today's Star Ledger, there are 30 pages of sheriff sales on foreclosed homes. And this is the situation every week, and this is the situation we see across America. So we have to look at this in a broader context than just simply this is a vote between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. No, we're actually voting to show people what we want in this society. And that's the way I think most of us in pop see it right now.
And, of course, there's no question that pop will continue to do what it needs to do, which we all understand is organizing, because it ultimately is the will of the people that has to be effectuated for a democratic society.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, our strategy, we're not just organizers. Like I said, we have not had a lot of participation in the election system. We do engage in voter registration every year, but we don't really go in to do too much campaigning. But just today, to today is Monday. For the past 11 weeks, the People's Organization for Progress has been engaged in what we call Justice Mondays. And, of course, we modeled that on the Moral Mondays of Brother William Barber.
We have about 45 seconds left, Larry.
That's right. Well, I just say, yes, we're going to keep the heat on in the street as we tell people to go to the ballot box, stay in the street, mobilize people to vote November the 8th in the general election, and continue to fight after. In fact, the most important day will be November 9th after the election is over, because the struggle will continue.
We have been speaking to what we believe is one of the most diehard, the most important, intrepid, and smart organizations who has really taken to heart and organized and created a sustainable organization around the issues of Black Lives Matter. Always a pleasure to speak with Larry Hamm, chairperson of the People's Organization for Progress.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, the matador? Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, the matador?
See, I gotta draw a line. I can't take it no more. If you ain't down with revolution, what you waiting for? Making money for suckers and not communities poor. Ripping flags off of coffers, man, this ain't our war. Colonized and terrorized by the world's biggest killers. The U.S. government, the biggest weapon and drug dealers. Filling prisons with children, incarcerating the future. MySpace and Facebook got us stuck on computers. Stuck on stupid music that's abusive to the shorties. And the nonsense that you're spitting, they just listen and absorbing. I've been dormant, I've been working, I'm a giant, I'm ready. I'm with the Apple in Oaxaca, and we hold the machetes. I rock hard like Palestinian children holding slingshots. I'm with every single kid that's down for hip-hop. For the culture, the life, what it really stands for. This music is resistance, it's the voice of the poor. I'm on the side of the workers, the teachers, the lunch ladies. On the streets with brown mommies, raising our brown babies. I'm with youth organized, cleaning up the Bronx River. I'm like Jaime Escalante when I stand and deliver. I'm with Evo Morales, man, he running Bolivia. Distribution of the land so we can all live bigger. I'm with Hugo and Fidel, Grandmaster and Melly Mel. I'm with the Panthers up in Queens, justice for Sean Bell. I'm with Camacho Negron, I'm with Ojeda Rios. Freedom for Oscar López, it's time to get in the field. I'm with Abu Jamal, I'm with Asada Shakur. I'm with the compas in the mark, and he getting a penny more.
Now, former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich weighs in support of Bernie Sanders.
Six responses to Bernie skeptics. Number one, says the skeptic, he'd never beat Trump or Cruz in a general election. Well, that's wrong. According to the latest polls, Bernie is the strongest Democratic candidate in the general election, defeating both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz in hypothetical matchups. The latest Real Clear Politics averages of all polls shows Bernie beating Trump by a larger margin than Hillary Clinton beats Trump, and Bernie beating Cruz while Hillary loses to Cruz. Number two, he couldn't get any of his ideas implemented because Congress would reject them. Well, if both houses of Congress remain in Republican hands, no Democrat will be able to get much legislation through Congress and will have to rely instead on executive orders and regulations. But there's a higher likelihood of kicking Republicans out if Bernie's political revolution continues to surge around America, bringing with it millions of young people and other voters and keeping them politically engaged. Number three, says the skeptic, America would never elect a socialist. Please. America's most successful and beloved government programs are social insurance, Social Security, and Medicare. I mean, a highway is a shared social expenditure, as is the military and public parks and schools. The real problem is we now have excessive socialism for the rich, bailouts of Wall Street, subsidies for big ag and big pharma, monopolization by cable companies and giant health insurers, giant tax-deductible CEO pay packages, all of which Bernie wants to end or prevent. Number four, says the skeptic, his single-payer health care proposal would cost so much it would require raising taxes on the middle class. This is a duplicitous argument. Single-payer systems in other rich nations have proven cheaper than private for-profit health insurers because they don't spend huge sums on advertising and marketing, executive pay, and billing. So even if the Sanders single-payer plan did require some higher taxes, Americans would still come out way ahead because they'd save far more than that on health insurance. Number five, his plan for paying for college with a tax on Wall Street trades would mean colleges would be run by government rules. Baloney. Three-quarters of college students today already attend public universities, financed largely by state governments, and they're not run by government rules. The real problem is too many young people still can't afford a college education. The move toward free public higher education that began years ago and extended into the 1960s came to an abrupt stop in the 1980s. We must restart it. Number six, he's too old. Well, that's untrue. He's in great health. Have you seen how agile and forceful he is as he campaigns around the country? These days, 70s are the new 60s. He's younger than four of the nine Supreme Court justices. In any event, the issue is not age, it's having the right values. Franklin D. Roosevelt was paralyzed. John F. Kennedy had Addison's and Crohn's diseases. But they were great presidents because they fought adamantly for social and economic justice.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.